proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators
hopple, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it.
They've all taken the angry pill.
That
smashes him to ground.
The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But by heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Depp steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Fire up. I think we are.
Well, it's so good to have the evil empire that is Canterbury Bankstown back in business. Welcome to Fire Up. Once again, you'll probably work out that this is not Stephen Ferris. My name is Chris Gayle. I'm often stopped in the street. I have been in the past week and people go, Brett? I go, no, it's Chris actually. They go, where is Stephen? Well, look, we've been able to clear him from any involvement in the brawl with Willie Peters at the Orient Hotel a couple of weeks ago with the Manly Warringah issues. He is again on the NRL coin. So he's down doing Broncos versus Storm DJing tonight. And again, people go, Brett. And I go, it's Chris. I go, why does he have to leave so early? Well, the fact was that he was doing an overnighter because, as we revealed somewhat exclusively on Fire Up a couple of weeks ago, Coach Bellamy likes to host the Melbourne Wags for a little weekly session over at his house. And so Stephen was brought in to provide the musical background. I believe he was drawing very heavily from the Dimitri from Paris album, A Night at the Playboy Mansion. Now, we're joined again in Stephen's absence on a seven-day contract. Well, let's just face it, a seven-day heads of agreement. Bronco Reg, how are you feeling on the eve of the big semi-final?
Brett, look, I'm feeling...
It's Chris.
Chris, sorry, mate. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited, really, really nervous, but daring a dream. Just a little bit, you know?
You haven't shaved the Jackbird beard, though?
I'm not shaving it till we get the comp, you know? Okay. I've got to be Jackbird stunt double,
He's coming to you eventually. Now, Reg, I want you to listen to these five words and not write them down, okay? Listen to these five words. Do not write them down.
Okay.
Elbow. Apple.
Apple.
Carpet.
Carpet.
Baby.
Baby.
Bubble.
Bubble. Gotcha.
We'll come back to that a little bit later. But we are thrilled to welcome here in the Fire Up studios this morning from Sharkcast TV and Radio, Newman. Hello, Newman.
Hello, and had to come in. And how are you, boys? Very happy to be here. I haven't been at FBI since I came here with my band's demo, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. And I said, I'm never going back to that joint, but here I am.
And what was the name of the band?
6 o'clock Swill.
All right. And where are they now?
Nowhere. Dead in the water, so it was a good pick by whoever was on A&R back then.
And what was your genre particularly?
A little bit of social distortion, inspired sort of folk punk, street punk.
Can't understand why I didn't play here. I would have thought
it was
perfect.
Yeah, I know, it was right in the wheelhouse of the of FBI's mantra. But it's great to be here as someone who produces independent fan-generated content, which is the technical word for a podcast. It's been a dream of mine to be on FBI since day dot.
Thanks, mate. I think we're just someone who generates content. We've got Amy Mulhern at the controls again, so we'll be well looked after, and producer Pat on the audio, so send all your complaints to them. Look, I think what we heard at the beginning of the show was Ray Dibbs' theme tune. You know, it's the Evil Empire. They're back Canterbury Bankstown because of what they've done to our Dez.
Oh, Dez, he's gone. Another one bites the dust. Sacked.
I think he's the fourth coach gone this year. Yeah. Probably more to go.
Well, you know what McGuire. The quote. You know what the quote is. There are those coaches who are sacked and those that are going to be sacked.
That's right.
Don't listen to the fans, or you'll start sitting with them.
It's got a quicker use-by date than the yogurt I eat, I think, coaching in the NRL. But we want to have a little bit of a deep dive into what happened to Dez. And of course, when we deep dive, we go to Andrew Webster, and he wrote the inside story of how the Bulldogs lost their way and Dez Hazel was sacked. So if I can just walk you through a few of the details, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. Dez Hazel thought he'd secured his future in a secret meeting at the Pullman Hotel at Sydney Olympic Park on April 3 earlier this year. Pullman Hotel, this rings a bell about Bodine Thompson or something like that, but that's for another time. Sitting around the table, and this is, you know how you always have your ideal dinner party guest list?
Yeah.
How does this sound? Bulldogs chairman Ray Dibb, chief executive Raylan Castle, and Hazler's manager George Mimas. I mean, talk about a power meal. What do you think they would? What would have been on the menu that night?
I want to know what they talked about outside of rugby league.
The meeting went on for hours and hours. Every last chance and detail nutted out. And then when it was all over, the much talked about heads of agreement was signed. It wasn't inked in blood, probably should have been, but it was a done deal. The Bulldogs announced it. But now it was all sorted. A week or so later, Hazler, Mimas, Dibb and Castle caught up for dinner again and raised a glass to the deal. Obviously, food's an important part of the Bulldogs' negotiations. However, we jump forward to last week, or was it earlier this week? I know it all seems a blur. Dez had been called in, and Webster says, Dez is a Jedi warrior of statistics, and Dibb had a stack of those to throw at him. No top four finals in 5 years, a win-loss percentage of 56.8% in the past 6 years, dropping to 52 in the past three, and down to 41.7% this year, and on it went. Then came the rip to the body Hazler and Mimas didn't see coming. Not only wasn't he sacked, he was getting a pay out. He wasn't going to get a payout because the heads of agreement was non-binding. Guys, you ever entered into contractual relationships of this nature, heads of agreement?
No. You would think that a contract is a contract is a contract, but that's not the case. A heads of agreement, I am not across the legal terminology, but I thought it was a bizarre move from the Bulldogs to just turn around and... if you remember at the time, the media scuttlebutt was that he was going to be out the door, and Ray Dibb turned around and went, nah, we're going to re-sign him, and they've re-signed him, and now they've backflipped on that. So some tremendous managerial prowess on display from the Dogs.
Well, I think if we react to what you say there, Newman, of course, Webster points out it's another messy chapter for the club that has no coach, no chief executive until December after the Rugby League World Cup has finished, no captain after James Graham signed with the Dragons, no favourite son after Josh Reynolds has gone to the Tigers. Kieran Foran and Aaron Woods, how must they be feeling at the moment, Bronco Rich?
Oh, well, aren't they, the NRL saying they're not going to register the contracts of those guys until, you know, they're salary cap compliant. So, I don't know, it wasn't old mate Foran coming across to get a father figure in Dez, and now, you know, his dad's gone. So, how does he feel? He's orphaned, essentially. That bloke needs a dad figure, honestly.
This is the human cost. That's never taken into account, is it, when they're doing this wheel? When they're having their Pinot Noirs and their lobster thermidors and whatever, they forget about these kids. I mean, they're fragile. Kieran Foran, I'm worried for the kid as a result of this.
Is there any player in the NRL that needs a father figure more than Kieran Foran?
I genuinely worry, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, it seems like from the outside he's got a bit of a gambling problem, that bloke. Like, I don't know. A bit of a gambling problem.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on there. Like, if a Dean Pay or, you know, some other bloke can do that. It seems like they have a chemistry, a dynamic. I don't know if it'll work with somebody else.
And listen, you know you're in trouble when Graham Hughes, a.k.a. the Trout, a.k.a. Heaps, is getting stuck into you. I mean, we might have heard a few possibly unkind things he said at the recent Newtown Jets function about Dez Hazler. Well, he's saying Dez Hazler's a saint compared to Ray Dibb and the board. Now, that might be because Hughes is on a ticket with Paul Dunn next year. But seriously, this is a club that has form. Newman, you might remember what happened to your boy, Andrew Fifita, when he was going to the Dogs. Remember what happened in that circumstance?
Well, that was another, that's another example of the managerial prowess of the Bulldogs and their contract handling. He was coming, then they switched around, and then he wasn't coming. They had the money, they didn't have the money. I mean, the interesting thing for me is the talk about the Bulldogs being the family club, and people saying the family club are now fracturing, and it's not an accurate depiction of the club, but I'm yet to see a family that operates perfectly, and this is the perfect description of a dysfunctional family.
Yeah, they're like a modern family club.
It's a modern family club, that's right. The Bulldogs have actually just got with the times, so good on them. That's great.
Look, because let's face it, we're deeply enmeshed in the same-sex marriage debate at the moment, and a lot of that is about the value of the nuclear family and whether it's being threatened by these changes. I mean, has anyone considered the impact of the plebiscite on the Bulldogs? I mean, if same-sex marriage is passed, does that mean the Bulldogs are going to further implode?
This is an important question that probably hasn't been ruminated on enough yet. But, I mean, if you look at it in family terms, there's no mother, no father, no son, no daughter, no anything. It's just a shell. It's an empty house at the Bulldogs at the moment.
And I don't want to draw a long bow here because it's not appropriate, but, I mean, is there a connection between the Bulldogs and the Abbott headbutt? I mean, I'm just simply speculating that might have been a disgruntled Bulldogs fan.
We can't rule it out.
You just can't rule it out at the moment. Now, Fifita, of course, had signed a memorandum of understanding with the Bulldogs. How's that different to a heads of agreement? And how's that different to a contract? Anyone?
I reckon it's leaving space for a thickhead like Andrew Fifita to stuff up. It's just saying, we're going to give you 20 minutes to not make a mistake, and he did. Then they pulled the rug.
Could I proffer a suggestion to the Bulldogs here that when, instead of dancing around the topic and signing heads of agreement, memorandums of understanding, why don't you just give people contracts?
Look,
I'm with you.
I think this discussion needs a lawyer's involvement. If I knew any good lawyers, I would have got one along, but we really don't. So it does, of course. Yes, Reg, you seem anxious.
How about that dinner? When they suggest the second dinner, how much do you not want to go to that second dinner? We're just saying this first dinner is going for hours, right? Then you go through, you get a napkin with, 14 dot points on it. We've gone, this is the head of memorandum or whatever. And then you get a call from Dibbo, 2 weeks later, and he goes, okay, now we're going to have another dinner. Yeah. Oh, mate, geez, I did not want to go to that dinner.
And I imagine that second dinner, probably George Mimas and Des did keep sort of proffering the napkin and sort of going, how are we doing? And they go, just have another drink, boys. Have another drink. It'll be fine. That's the way it's done at the Dogs. Now, there's a massive void to fill. We've identified all the holes. What about the coaching hole? Who are the candidates? Who do we see?
Dean Pay, we've got. Is there any truth in that Steve Mortimer? He doesn't want to be a coach.
No, look, you can rule out Steve Mortimer straight away because the last time I played rugby league, my coach was Steve Mortimer.
Is that right?
And I'll just go out there and say he's a fantastic guy, but
tremendous man.
Coaching probably isn't his strength.
Is he a bit thin on the technical stuff, Newman? Is that what we're
Yeah, a lot of spit, a lot of spit in the halftime talks. And the game may have evolved beyond his understanding of it, but he was an administrator there for a while, and I don't think you've got to coach in lower grades and have junior teams coming through or reserve grade. I mean, he hasn't coached for decades.
Yeah.
Donkey's years.
The spinning thing is significant because that's, of course, what cost Madge Maguire his deal at South, because he's reputedly a very tough trainer and would participate in all the drills and at the end of it would throw up.
Is that right?
And if there's one thing the modern rugby league player doesn't like, and let's face it, they're cosseted, the modern league player, they don't like being thrown up on.
No.
So I can see, you can't bring back
soft
spit. It's completely soft. I still am running my theory, which is just a personal theory, has absolutely no support, that New South Wales faked the management bar bill to get Daly sacked so that Daly can go to Manly, T-Baz to Canterbury, freeing up Des for the two most prestigious jobs in rugby league, coaching the New South Wales Blues or the Gold Coast Titans. Now, Reg, for Des himself, I mean, is this a pause? Does he go to these other franchises or are there other things you can see that he could do?
Well, first of all, I just bumped into him on the street and he said, can I have $20, mate?
How was his hair?
His hair was luscious and beautiful and foppy as usual. He said he got tips from Hugh Grant. I said, yep, fair call.
There you go.
But he's going
to give
him
a voucher to Joe Bailey. So
to Joe Bailey. Say,
get yourself
Stephen,
fixed up. Yeah.
We had Stephen in Brizzy in the 90s with the pink speed boat.
My guy used to do my hair back in the late 70s and early 80s was Francois. It seemed to be, the thing when you went from a barber to a hairdresser.
Yeah.
They had to have that sort of name, Stefan, Francois, that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're called Steve, they just get... No, it
doesn't work.
No, Bruce, come on. Francois.
Tex.
Yeah.
Tex. I've never met a hairdresser called Tex.
No. My dog's name, Tex.
Is it right? Yeah. But is it a hairdresser?
No.
My point is proved.
So there are a couple of jobs for Dez. I thought he could write puns for the headlines in the Daily Telegraph. I thought he'd be pretty good at that. With Amazon's coming over, they're going to like take over the world with kind of drone couriers.
Yes.
With Dan's Dez's fan of drones, I thought he could,
he could be sort of back at HQ dispatching the drones.
Yeah.
He could be a brand ambassador for Amazon drones.
How good would that? Yeah, beautiful. Great voice as well on him, Dez.
I'm the mad professor. Have you considered getting your pizza delivered by Amazon?
Yeah, there we go. Beautiful. I thought he could maybe be a tour guide at the Harry Potter Museum. I think about the Voldemort reference.
He's steeped in the lore of Harry Potter.
Yeah, and that's about all I've got for Dez. Otherwise, rugby league coach of another club, I reckon.
Yeah, that's probably closer to the mark.
All right. Yeah. I think the one thing we agree on, wherever Dez lands, he won't be ending up at another family club. You're on Fire Up FBI Radio.
Anyway, we're all fired up. Let's go.
Look, I just had a message from Eddie Murphy come through. He says he's just greenlit the Nutty Professor 7. It's set to star Dez Hasler as a man on the edge, and he asked me for some money as well.
Right.
So thanks, Dez.
But not Jerry Lewis.
Not Jerry Lewis.
We are family, Sister Sledge on Fire Up FBI. As I was just saying, Sister Sledge are coming out in a magnificent triple bill with the Village People and KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, what a night.
I'll be there. I think, sadly, though, we might have lost a Sledge sister recently, so it'll be poignant. So it'll be a chance to pay tribute. Speaking of tribute, it's finals time in rugby league. How do we feel about finals time? Favourite time of year when your team's...
Best time of year, Chris.
Yeah, when your team's not in
there. Yeah, unreal.
Yeah, great. Brocco, Rich, how do you feel?
I'm so nervous. I'm really... I get more nervous as the days go on. So.
You got reason to be nervous.
Yeah.
You're underdogs. You're basically no shot. We'll come to that game in a moment.
Okay.
But we'd like to go to Saturday's game first, where the Sydney Roosters take on the North Queensland Cowboys. How do you see this one panning out, Brocco, Rich?
I love the way the Cows are playing. I think the Cows are playing really, really tough. I feel like the Roosters have been a bit inconsistent. I feel like if the Roosters play like they played against the Bronx a couple of weeks ago, I think the Cows will get them. But then there's the fresh factor. Like it always seemed, like when we played the Roosters in 2015 and we'd had the week off, like I remember Bennett going in the, he's a gracious winner, Wayne Bennett. Like after we won, he goes, you know, but we came in here fresh. We had the week off and, you know, those blokes had a...
How is it that when we're talking about the Cowboys and the Roosters, we end up talking about the Broncos, yeah. Reggie?
You're talking to a Broncos fan. This is what we do. We kind of, all roads lead to Rome.
Okay,
we
need an impartial viewpoint. Newman, how do you see the game going?
I think the Roosters will spank them. The week off, as you said, is invaluable. I think the Cowboys are not getting enough credit about... I mean, they're brave, but they're also playing really well. Their error rate's low. They're getting a lot of repeat sets. They've got they're busting up the middle, but I think the Roosters have got a little bit happening this year with the tough forward pack and the back line that they've got. I think the Roosters will do it and do it well.
Dave, can I ask you, like, as a bloke who's played...
Newman?
Newman. Newman.
You are nervous. What's my name?
Donald?
You got it. Right. Okay.
Brett, it's... Thanks, mate. What do you reckon about the JWH on Taumalolo? How do you think he's going to go?
Well, I think he'll be up for a battle, but Taumalolo is clearly a superior player and bigger and stronger, but JWH is not real brainy. He'll be out there for a good, you know, it'll be good rugby league.
Two
big bulls in the paddock going at it. That's why people tune in.
No shoulder charges, no head highs, no punching. It'll still be good though, right?
Yeah. I'm excited.
So, of course, the big debate this week is with, you know, having started with five Sydney teams in the semi-finals out of eight, we're down to one. So it becomes the issue, does the Roosters become Sydney's team? I love the fact of the opportunity to go out to the game, which I will be doing, and consistently going, come on, Sydney, go Sydney. Because if there's something that drives Eastern Suburbs fan more crazy than calling them Sydney, I've never heard it. But they are the Sydney Roosters. So the Astonisher this week came out with 50 reasons that Sydney should get behind the Roosters. First of all, in principle, is that a good idea? Should we be getting behind the Roosters, Newman?
I don't think there should be anything as a second team or a neutral team. I think you should be passionate about your club and hate everybody else, which is the way I feel about it. And I think it's one of the bitter things about rugby league is at the pointy end of the season, we've got Melbourne, we've got Brisbane, we've got the Cowboys, and we've got the Roosters. Like, okay, the Cowboys are kind of likeable, but, you know, they're a Queensland team. And the Roosters are the, and Manly, it's always these teams which are unpopular that seem to get through at the end. And as a neutral fan, it's hard to take. And finding reasons to like the Roosters is tough.
2015 all over again, isn't it?
It is.
It's the same team. It's clearly just an NRL conspiracy. Greenberg, you know, hands at the controls. People have been bored. I mean, I'm all allegedly, but seriously. I mean, what is the battling rugby league fan getting out of these finals apart from more heartache and frustration and disappointment?
Yeah, I was going to say depression or something. Yeah, something like that. Extra anxiety, sadness in their life.
Well, they're getting more ammunition for the conspiracy theories, aren't they? They just turn around and say that the refs... What, the problem is conspiracy theory falls over when you've got a game like Broncos v Storm, and then it's like, well, the Broncos paid the ref, the Storm paid the ref. They can't both pay their way into winning.
Well, who paid the ref more? I mean, you've got to find out how much those guys are going to pay and then up it.
You've got to up it, which is probably what happened with the Cowboys and the Sharks, because a few years ago it was an NRL conspiracy to have the Cowboys knocked out on the seven tackle, and then it's flipped. But we might explore that in detail with Newman in the next section.
Okay.
Now, I believe that one of the Rugby League podcasts, and let's face it, there's a million of them, is doing 50 reasons to hate the Roosters. I'm surprised because, first of all, we were going to do that, but we were not able to whittle the list down to less than 200. But let's just have a look at some of the reasons why Sydney should apparently get behind the Roosters. Brian the Rooster. You guys familiar with Brian's work? Terrific guy, sort of there with like a feather duster type thing on his head. But doesn't it speak volumes that they identify that you just get behind a fan? You can't even get behind Rocky the Rooster, the mascot?
No, or any of the players.
Have you ever seen a less interesting and attractive mascot than Rocky the Rooster? It just looks so manufactured.
Is that his name? I didn't even know that was his name.
There you go.
No, most Roosters fans don't know his name. I mean, Buck the Bronco. You know Buck.
Is that the live horse?
Yeah. Is Buck the horse or is he the bloke who rides it? Buck is the Bronco.
I know, you're the Bronco guru.
Just get back to me.
They're not taking Buck down on a float for the game tonight, I hope. That's a long trip.
Yeah, they got him in the float, that's right. He's come down the M1. He's there, he's getting there.
Can't they just put him in a plane in a big box with a couple of holes put in the side? I'd crane him into the plane, Buck's on his way down.
Well, remember they're going to do that with Lockyer when he fractured the cheekbone? I think they're going to put him in a horse flight and get him down for the
game. Yeah, they were going to helicopter him down. Well, that still...
was, the pressure would have been too much.
I was so sad after that. It came out of the Courier Mail on the back page and it said, oh, I'm playing. Like, they went to his hospital bed and I was like, yes, Lockie is playing. This is after he'd slotted the field goal.
And what happened?
He didn't play. He didn't play. I was like, oh. And then I was there, Chris. Got done by the Roosters in the fire. Oh, sad.
Beautiful. And yeah. Being a Sharks booster, Newman, do you know MC Hammerhead personally?
I do. He's a good fella. I went to the Sharkcast boys. We got invited last year to the players' presentation, the Monty Porter medal, and we were on the table with the mascots.
Right, well, there you go.
And that was an illuminating night of discussion and conversation.
Is that the rugby league presentation equivalent of Siberia? Like, you know,
well, last year,
last year
it was a great night because obviously the premiership and the players kicked on afterwards. This year was a little different. The Monty Porter medal was on Monday night, and Samuel and I from Sharkcast TV and radio, we've been elevated from a table with the mascots to a table with the cheerleaders. So we went from the outhouse to the penthouse very quickly.
Oh, wow.
And who got the medal?
Gal.
Oh.
Gowser.
I always said about MC Hammerhead that it's something that I don't think got enough publicity. At the moment where you actually won the premiership, his head fell off and a whole generation of Shire kiddies were traumatised in a way similar to many years ago when they crossed back live to Adelaide Television and Humphrey B. Bear was there without his head on, which ruined a generation of Australian school children. Again, the human cost of rugby league not taken into account.
I've got an interesting story about MC Hammerhead if you want to indulge.
Sure.
For a while there, he was in the wilderness and he was nowhere to be seen. Now, the Sharks run on the smell of an oily rag, which you wouldn't understand, Bronco Reg being a Bronco supporter. But
yeah, <we're> rich.
the mascots didn't get paid for a long period of time, and then it was up to them to do the repair work on the suit and their own travel costs of the game. And MC Hammer had got jack of this and took the suit home, put it in a drawer and said he's retired. And the club tried to bring him out and say, you're denying the kids a chance. And there was this long standoff between the Cronulla Sharks and MC Hammerhead over the ownership of the suit and whether he would come out at the game. But anyway, peace. Finally, a peace deal was brokered and MC Hammerhead is back in his rightful place.
So what was the critical point that they pushed over? There would have been negotiations. What got the Hammerhead back on board?
I can't tell you exactly what happened, but let's speculate here. And it was about the time that the Sharks came into a bit of property money, property development. So maybe MC Hammerhead was given a unit in Gal Towers, as they're called down there at Woolooware.
Gal Towers, yeah. You thought you went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
Oh, no. Well, MC Hammerhead.
Yeah.
You didn't co-opt and lose Zivanovic from Penrith to help in the negotiations by any chance, did you? I mean, there's very sensitive matters.
Well, I wasn't... Yeah, look, I wasn't involved in the negotiations, but there's some insight into rugby league mascotry that the listeners are fire up, probably salivating for.
Yeah, and we hope to get a marine biologist on this show at some stage, because to me, the mouth of the Hammerhead looks more like a lemur or a suckerfish or maybe a lamprey or something like that. I mean, there's some finesse in that design. We'll do more work on that.
My mate's a marine biologist, actually. Yeah.
Who is?
My mate. Mate Gabe.
Right,
is a marine biologist.
Get him on. Get him on.
Sure.
Get him on instead of you.
Okay.
Remember, you've only got a heads of agreement on this show, mate.
Oh, Jesus. This is rough.
Right. Other reasons. Without Todd Skinny Byrne, there would have been no Scott Sattler grand final tackle.
True.
That's a good reason because it shows the Roosters in a bad light. the Roosters have the same national colours as North Korea.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, they do.
Are you saying Pilatus is Kim? Is this the parallel?
Well,
or?
Look... Everyone says it's accepted wisdom that Sonny Bill Williams is coming back to the Roosters eventually after he finishes his dalliance with that other game rugby union.
Yeah.
And it's not just the conversation, as it was reported in the paper this week, that the conversations over dinner between Blake Ferguson and the godfather Nick Politis. The conversations here are between Sonny Bill, Nick Politis and Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un will be the reason why Sonny Bill Williams comes back to the Roosters. They took rugby league to Fashion Week, courtesy of Craig Wing and those pink slacks.
These are things that slip through to the ether of rugby league.
And remember, they're the only things I can find that they say we should like about the Roosters that I think have merit. I got 8 of them. They inspired the Russell Crowe famous thumbs down when the Bunnies were giving it to the Roosters.
Funny.
So the Roosters, funny. Again, their ineptitude gave us another reason to dislike Rusty. This is positive. Never queue for a beer at a Roosters game.
That's great.
That's great.
That's great.
Hulk Hogan is a fan, brother. And with fans like Hulk Hogan, you don't need enemies. And look, I have to accept this. Horry Hastings, it says, dead set legend.
I mean,
you can't hate Horry Hastings. You can hate Jackson, but you can't hate Horry. Okay, now, I think we should move on to the other game because, you know, time is against us. But before we do, Luke Keary, food poisoning. What happened there, Bronco Ridge?
Well, look, there have been a few questions. I mean, I was at Roosters training, you know, this is a couple of months back. I was talking to Aiden Guerra. He dropped, he was just eating a protein sandwich. He dropped in the mud and he just picked it up and started eating again. Luke Keary came over, he started eating a bite of it as well. He smelt. I said, you know, when just shower last, mate? He said the Roosters have gone all Lecoq French rooster style and that showering's for wimps. And then he sneezed, he coughed all over me and he walked away. And I thought, is this indicative of the new Roosters kind of personal hygiene standards over there?
Culture issues.
Yeah. Culture issues. Yeah. Literally like bacteria culture.
Bacterial culture issues.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah. That'd be the subtext. But in this particular case, he ate a dodgy lamb shank. And dodgy, I mean, isn't that typical of a rooster? I mean, most people get food poisoning from a dodgy kebab.
Kebab, yeah.
Sausage sandwich.
Prawns.
Prawns.
Prawns and your fried rice.
Yeah, a bit of meat that's been left in the fridge too long. But the Roosters just pulled lamb shank. I mean,
wow.
But the interesting thing is you got it twice. And, you know, definition of insanity, but Luke will probably be on the paddock for the Roosters this Saturday night at Allianz, 7:40 p.m. Put it in your diaries.
JWH was giving it to him, just saying like he was doing it just to get out of training, just basically he's a wimp. I just love Roosters infighting. Just
it's good because
me.
Players don't even train really that hard this time of year. They're putting him in cotton wool.
They're taping.
They don't do much contact at the sessions. So training's pretty, throwing a frisbee around and that sort of stuff. He's saying he wanted to get out of those team building activities.
Yeah, it just doesn't look. Just says, you know, the 16 other bad blokes in the team just wants to go home, basically.
Trent Robinson was on League Life this week, and he did describe Luke as a different cat. So I think
is that right?
There. I tell you what, Jared Hayne, who will be listening to the show, and hello, Jared, and
hello, Jared,
hello, Jared.
Thanks for the picks.
There's another thing you can use to get out of training. You know,
got to go to the toilet. Break.
Oh, dodgy lamb scent coach, whoever that coach might be. Hello, Dez.
Yeah, Dez.
Broncos versus Storm. Newman, who do you like?
None of them. I hope they both lose.
Well said.
I do hope they both lose.
I knew this.
I think the Storm have been phenomenal, like on the field. They've been phenomenal all year. They've set in the benchmark for, I mean, how many games they lost? Like four? Two of those were...
to the Roosters? No.
No. Two of those were Origin depleted. They've only lost two games with their full squad available. They just find ways to win. And the other thing is they're playing quite attractively, which is annoying.
Isn't that disgusting? Like we have actually staked our reputation on the show that they're robots, they're the Borg, they're repetitive, they strangle the life out of the game and the wrestle. God help us, they're playing a bit of football.
Yeah, I know.
Munster, X Factor.
Yeah.
Wingers, Vunivalu and Addo Cut.
Yeah, the Fox.
You were missing him, yeah.
What are
they smashed like South 64-4 or something a couple of weeks ago? They bashed up us 42-10 or something at Suncorp ages ago. They've just been bloody running up cricket scores on bloody teams. Like,
they're a mile ahead.
That was the one great thing about Melbourne. You could always go, yeah, but they only got, you know, 12. They just beat teams, you know, 12-10, 14-12. Just strangle them out. Now they just got everything.
I know, they're scoring
it's
points.
Depressing.
By the way, you got to give it to Melbourne crowds. You got to absolutely love them when they were leading.
Just give it to them. Like, you're rubbish, mate.
No. Like, 54-0 they led South, and then South scored a try.
And they
apparently was a knock-on lead-up. They boo.
Oh, they would.
How good is that?
They would.
I mean, is the world so turned upside down that we're all starting to like the Storms? Is that how bad it is?
No, I don't like them.
Good. And Canterbury's still the evil empire. Now, the hate that they talk about, the Bellamy-Bennett hate Bronco Reg, is it real? You've got the inside scoop on this.
Yeah, well, it's a long-standing thing. It all kind of started out for, like, when the Storm came into the comp, they pinched a couple of, like, key administrators from the Bronx, like John Ribo, and centre Chris Johns came down, took Lazo, Brick with Eyes, down there. They won the comp in the second year. There's been kind of a rivalry going on from there. Obviously, Bellamy came from 5 years tutelage under Bennett there, so they've just kind of, they're saying that they're kind of doing it better than what we have done it as a powerhouse in the comp. They've become the bloody benchmark, mate.
Being upset about John Rebo being taken away from his straw and long bow, isn't it?
Rebo
that silence would say yes.
He was on Sterlo, and this is what I hate about when they give these interviews. Again, he looked like a pretty decent guy. I mean, honestly, media manufactured images.
Well, we can thank him for the game's immense popularity in China.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going through the roof. And listen, speaking of media manufactured issues, I mean, I know we're talking about your team, so therefore we need to get back on the other game.
Oh, let's talk some more.
Am I wrong in suggesting this beatification of Jonathan Thurston that continues apace is completely constructed? So,
correct. Preach it. I'm with you, Chris.
We all saw the vision of him cleaning up after the boys, right? Yeah. First of all, Matt Scott was cleaning up as well. Where are the props to Matt Scott? Well, he's doing a good job if he plays this weekend, that's for sure.
It's true.
Am I wrong in thinking that, in fact, my understanding is the Cowboys are one of the neatest teams in the NRL?
Yeah.
So that rubbish was pre-scattered in order for JT to...
Are you saying it was a plant? Totally. The rubbish was a plant.
Totally set up.
Wow.
Set up.
There didn't seem to be very much rubbish to the untrained eye. It seemed like a pretty average amount. There was a very tiny amount of rubbish in my JV. Picked up a drink bottle and put it back in place.
The whole thing.
Was scrub on the floors.
If you time code the video, there are bits missing. You know,
sort of clock's going forward and
that's
back.
That's right. Yeah, it's very unusual. Okay. It was so heartening to see Latrell Mitchell come out in the press this week and say, "I'm the player I am because JT didn't sign an autograph for me when I was a kid." And I mean, it's that sort of. Is that the true JT colours? He's sort of brushed the kid who's now a superstar and he's desperately trying to shore up his immortal campaign through cheap stunts like this?
I think we're saying yes,
this
for sure.
Is the inconsistency which drives a regular rugby league fan mad. Gal doesn't give a kid an autograph and he's Satan.
He's pilloried.
And JT, the undercover grub, he does the same thing and he's lauded. And it creates a great... a potential future immortal in Latrell Mitchell. This is the difference in the media posturing around not giving autographs. And JT, undercover grub.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you saying ninth immortal gal?
100%.
It started here today. Look, one thing that's been highly controversial is Corey Oates, who was taken out in a sickening collision with the MILF. And let's face it, we've all been there. He is playing this weekend, and it's brought up the whole debate about the HIA. And it takes me back to, can you give me back those five words, Bronco Reg?
Oh my gosh. Bubble, baby, shower, elbow, and apple.
Right, you got four out of five because the other one was carpet, of course.
Carpet.
Bronco, Amy, can you take over from Bronco Reg? He's got an HIA, he's got to go off for 15 minutes. Sam Fido gave us a great insight into what happens in the HIA because he's been subject to one himself. He goes, "I was knocked out and failed the HIA. I couldn't go back out onto the field. I was a bit filthy about it, definitely, but I understood why. Not at the time, but I understood why." You go through a few different questions. What's the time? I think that's tough. Why would you know the time in the middle of a game?
You wouldn't.
Right, what's the date? I think that's a fair question. Where are we playing? What's the score? Well, the coaches keep saying don't play the scoreboard.
I don't know.
Just be in the moment, be in the zone. So I think that's a tough question. Who did we play last week? Did we win or lose? Where were you last week?
I don't know.
I was waiting for you to ring me.
That's right. That's true. Then you've got to take numbers backwards. You start with three and it goes to four, five and six. And then 7 to 10 minutes later, you have to repeat the five words, Bronco Reg, which are?
Yeah, genuinely.
What are the five words?
Bubble, carpet, elbow, baby, shower.
Now, on Apple. This...
It's difficult.
Gone. You're gone. Get out of here.
It's genuinely really difficult.
On this, your Broncos superstar signing from the Cronulla Sharks, Jack Bird,
who is me,
failed a HIA, not because he had a head injury, just because he just genuinely did not know the answer to those questions.
I'm telling you,
this is a true story.
It's so easy to fail it.
Anyway, Bronco Reg, no one wishes you good luck on the weekend and see what happens with your team.
Don't you want to see the Bronx beat Melbourne?
No, I don't want to see them fly.
Oh, man. Okay.
I used to think that I could not go on. And life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away.
I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly.
Welcome back to Fire Up FBA Radio. We are very excited to have on the phone. We're extinguishing all our debts from last week. We got Newman actually on the show. And we have on the phone from the powerhouse that is Latin Heat Rugby League, Rob Bergen. How are you, Rob?
Great, thanks, mate. Cheers for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, we believe you've got the Rise of the Underdog big day coming up next weekend. Is that right, September 30?
Yep, so day before the NRL Grand Final out at Liverpool All Saints. Hilly over right there.
Fantastic. I know that Todd Greenberg is thrilled that you put it the day before because you would have eaten into the crowd at Grand Final Day if you were going up against them. Now, from what I understand, we've got the two countries with the biggest domestic rugby league footprints in Latin America and Asia, which of course are Chile and Thailand, going head to head. They've got ambitions to climb into the top 30 Rugby League International Federation ranking, something that I know Bronco Reg keeps his finger on the pulse very closely. We've got other games. We've got El Salvador playing Uruguay. I think I saw the El Salvador boys go around against down at Henson Park last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they played Chile there.
Magnificent fixture.
That was a great day at Henson Park.
It really was a great
day. Huge, a lot of fun.
Dancing and food stalls and things like that. Bring it back, Jets. What are you doing? A combined Latin American development side playing a composite Asian team, obviously reaching out across the oceans, and then mixed tag rugby league games. How do you see the day going, Rob?
Yeah, mate, as I say, plenty of colour, a lot of vibrancy. We've also got on, we've added an extra day, so Malta is playing Africa United in an under-16s game at 1 o'clock. So from 1 o'clock through to 9:30, it's just about every country in the world.
And Africa United, how many countries are united in that particular team, do you reckon?
I think it's around 46.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is there a dream that rugby league becomes the global dominant sport and football gets, i.e. soccer, gets kicked to the curb? Can you see that? And will you have a statue built to you as a result of this?
That'd be fantastic. They don't have to worry about the hair on it, so they'd save some money there.
Less styling involved. And Rob, if you don't mind me saying, you're a gentleman who's north of 30 years old, is that correct?
Yeah, 39, going on 40.
And still playing the great game of rugby league.
Yeah, mate. I mean, the number of games I play each season is gradually getting less and less. I seem to be coming back from the pre-season later each year. But, I've definitely got ambition to play at least until I'm 40 years old. So I know a guy up here who's playing until he's 54, and he's already won multiple premierships, and he still keeps going.
What grade are you playing?
I just play in Brisbane Second Division up here. So I play a mixture of Northside 1 and Northside 2.
What's your excuse, Chris?
Yeah, I've got no excuse. Are you going to devote your body to donate your body to medical science, Rob, when it's all over?
Mate, when it's all over, might be about a year away, I reckon. The way my physio is talking to me at the moment.
So, Rob, how is the game on the ground in Chile? I've heard that there are 13 rugby league teams in Chile getting round. How is the popularity of the sport in Chile?
Mate, honestly, I guess we're all train spotters here, but a documentary on how rugby league has taken place in Chile had taken hold, it'd actually be quite fascinating. There's a guy, Guillermo, who started this whole thing up. He's just an NRL fan that we found over there. And he actually set aside a room in the front of his house, so he makes the balls in there. He's got his own factory. He ended up getting a job that moved him 2,000 kilometres away. And while he was there for just a couple of weeks, he already started up a couple more teams. He's just like walking advertisement for the game. They've got 13 teams down south, and I think they've got like three or four up north, and now they've got, you know, they've got individual heritage teams there now. So there's a Colombian team that plays in Chile, and there's a Peruvian team that's kind of taking shape as well. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Can I ask about these balls? I'm a bit interested in Guillermo's ball style. If he's manufacturing these balls, are these like a modern Steedon, or are these more like the balls in the 80s, like the kind of Wally Lewis era kind of stitched up? I love those old school style balls. Which, do you know what style
it is
making?
I do think it is more the old style, and I'm not sure they would pass international standards, all of them, but yeah, it's good on him.
Look, what Rob, a hell of a guy.
Look, Rob, I think there's an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary on all of this. Thanks very much for your time this morning. I'm glad we finally got to you after all the issues of last week. It's the Rise of the Underdog at Liverpool All Saints next Saturday, September 30. And good luck with next season, mate. We'll speak to you soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers. Thanks, Rob. Bye.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers, Rob.
See you, mate.
said on the press conference that things just didn't happen for us, didn't go our way. The calls were, I don't want to say horrendous, but just didn't happen for us.
The calls were horrendous, Rob. They were awful, they were wrong. Clearly, everyone could see him at home, could see him here at the ground. And in a close semi, in this time of year, close semi-final, you can't rise above that. You can maybe rise against one or two that were wrong, but there was just too many of them. Crucial, that should have been a penalty. We kicked the goal, game over. We're getting ready to go to a semi-final.
You probably don't really care too much about them, but Cowboys, what do you think about them going forward next week?
I couldn't give a rat's, Rob.
Thanks for joining us, Shane.
Thanks, mate.
So there was Coach Shane Flanagan.
All-round good sport, yeah, Shane Flanagan.
On Sharkcast TV straight after his...
Wasn't Sharkcast TV, wasn't it? That was a member's website? Email. It was one third of Sharkcast TV, Mr. Rob Willis, the so-called voice of reason. But no, that wasn't Sharkcast TV. That was the members only. They call it, what do they call it? The wash up?
Right, okay, cool down.
I shouldn't say that. The cool down.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Casino cool down.
We have sponsorship. We can say brand names here.
Okay.
I just like to say a big hello to Subaru if they want to send me another car. But of course, in a moment, we'll come to the fact that you guys, sort of like Radio Caroline style, had to do your next episode of your Sharkcast radio offshore. In one of those boats.
I'll delineate there quickly for you. So we've got Sharkcast TV and Sharkcast Radio. Right. Sharkcast Radio is just myself and Sydney singer-songwriter Sam Shinazzy talking rubbish about the Sharks. It's completely independent, but we do...
Must go on for hours.
Yeah, but it's fascinating listening. You can find us on iTunes. But we do a TV show, which is a production in-house with the club, and Robbie's on that. Now, we were instructed... We weren't essentially... gagged by the strict terminology, but we were told if we went to air, we wouldn't be able to talk about the Cowboys game, the last semi-final, because of the breach. So we ended up doing it from my garage with a GoPro, and some of our best numbers of the year. So it was quite like a renegade Sharkcast TV.
You're like the rise of the underground, right? The underdog. Now look, Flano, of course, calmed down this week and eventually penned a letter basically to the world about what had happened. And I've got the first draft here, and I'd be interested in you guys to comment after I read the first draft of the letter. It was subsequently edited.
So okay.
This was the original version before it was edited. The original version read this way, and this is Flano after 10 days or so, a little bit calmer, a little bit more rational, having actually literally cooled down in a big hello to Crownbet. It still hurts, doesn't it? I mean, how horrendous was the refereeing? To each and every loyal Cronulla Sharks sponsor, member and supporter, trust me when I say I know exactly how you're feeling. It was the ref's fault. Which in part is why it's taken me just over a week over our Golden Point loss to reach out to you. To a man, and woman it should say, and that means every single player in our roster, our committed coaching staff, administration board, and most definitely you, are far from satisfied with the way we were bundled out of the competition due to the refs. In 2017, the officials were nowhere near the standard of this year's premiership. We all know what happened after the loss to the Cowboys in the post-match press conference. I was asked about the performance of the match officials. As it stands, our club has been hit with a $30,000 breach notice for my response. I owe you an apology. I owe the game an apology. I don't owe the refs an apology at all. But I'm truly sorry for the way I reacted. Truly sorry. Truly. Really. I'm writing this note to you because I reckon if you support this great club, you know the type of person I am. The type of person who would write a letter like this to try and get Todd Greenberg to reduce the fine. Now, the final version of the letter was changed a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But do you think that's an accurate reflection of where Flano is 2 weeks after the incident?
I spoke to him twice after the incident. Once when I just went up to the local golf club for a schooner. He was up there winning a meat tray. And I had a quick chat to him there, and then I spoke to him at the players'
Who won the tray? You or Flano?
Flano won two. He won two trays.
How rough is this? He's running on 100K a year, and he's taken home... This is the Mr. Burns winning the car.
Yeah. You'll be happy to know that many, many people shouted out that there was a conspiracy.
He didn't have to throw those sausages at him, though. I thought that was a bit rough.
I spoke to him there, and I spoke to him at the players' presentation, and he was very much concerned that he was being... portrayed, or it made him look like a sore loser. So there was...
Why do you think that was, Shane?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's a real head scratch, that one. So he was concerned that he came across as a sore loser, and he was genuine in his feelings about the referee, but he could have stopped it all by sort of saying, we played badly, but he didn't even do that.
Yeah, failed to complete at 70%, 31 missed tackles. But in fact, the actual final letter did actually put a lot of responsibility on the players after the players themselves had come out and said it was our fault.
Yes. Yes. So he's a cranky individual, though, like overall. So I wouldn't like to work for him.
Yeah, me too. Can I just say, what is the go with the NRL presser as well? Like, the NRL press conferences are like Jeopardy. You've got to guess what the journalist has asked.
How hard is it? And the other thing is, like, the coaches do not want to be at those press conferences. No. There isn't an NRL coach that says, oh, well, great, I've done my team talk and we've had a bottle of Gatorade, now let's go talk to the media and get poked with sticks. They don't want to be there. And then the NRL, you know, as you said, you can't hear the questions. And the journalists are just looking for some kind of reaction that they can write about. And then they fine guys for saying what they really think. I mean, it's a bizarre setup. Mm. Obviously, you can play. But as you know, like, I thought Wayne Bennett's approach of just sort of saying, yep, nah, yep, was probably the best way to manage it. But he was crucified boring. For it. It was boring, yeah. But I mean, he didn't want to be
Play well for his acolyte Darius as well, did
no.
it?
No, but I thought if I was in their shoes, you can totally sympathise with that, the way they approaching the press conference, because it's a bizarre setup. But would it kill them to get a microphone?
Yeah, no, I think there's some moves afoot to do that, I think. But the deal with the Flano letter is probably what we're saying the first draft should have been allowed to stay as it was. That the man is courageous, he's saying it what it is. I hate to think that what you guys are, you know, keying in on here is that the NRL is trying to manage all the media messages.
100%.
And is it not the fact that we've just highlighted the strong connection between the Roosters and North Korea? And this is where we're heading. The NRL is North Korea.
Very much so. And as someone who pushes out a podcast and a semi-official vodcast, the limitations that the NRL put on you, it's unbelievable. And as someone, you're just trying to create interest in the game. You know, and we're connecting with other fans who have a vested interest. I mean, it's a niche product what we do. There's a lot of people out there thinking, who would want to listen to a Sharks podcast? But we have reasonable numbers, and we create interest in the club. People have come up to us and said, oh, I bought a membership this year because of you, or I went to extra games because you got me pumped up for it. Now, to me, if I'm running the NRL, you want as many of these things in circulation as possible. But no, they try and step on it, and it just shows an, you know, it's an administration that's out of touch with the general fan, the guy who buys the membership, the guy who will pay for a pay TV subscription, which pays their salary. And other sports, American sports, kind of, they promote this, anything that brings money into the game, whereas NRL, very much like North Korea, it's very disappointing.
I will find myself on my phone during the week, and without thinking about it, I will have opened up the NRL app, and then I will go, you're meant to be doing something else, Michael. I'll close the app, and then before I've noticed that I've opened it again, I've already got Fox Sports open.
Okay.
That's an addiction.
Thank God. I thought you were going to say you're older. Open up one of those adult sites.
We said we wouldn't talk about that, Chris.
And also, who's Michael?
Oh, this is my alter ego,
look,
Dr.
I mean,
Jekyll.
I'd say the most feared words in the rugby league lexicon are NRL digital. But at least you guys are targeted, Newman. I mean, we begged the NRL to try and shut us down, but we can't get any interest from them. But what we can do is just get a little underline on the Flano incident by Paul Gallen from the Rugby League, the musical, not Paul Gallen from the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
And then we get to the real important ones. Paul Gallen.
Oh, thanks, Shano. I know a man called Shano Flanagan. He was offended by the ref's shenanigans. Trying to distract from losing a finals game. Poor old Shano Flanagan blew up again.
You know, I've spoken to BC, Brian Canavan, about, you know, I'm not paying any money here, so...
He said he had a word with Brian Canavan. Flano doesn't want to be fined 10 grand again. Then he calmly ranted about Ashley Klein again. Poor old Shano Flanagan referant again. Oh, Shano.
No, Trent Barrett feels.
Last year when we won the premiership, he didn't mind when 50-50 calls favoured him. Now we're on the other side, he finds his voice again. Poor old Shano Flanagan referant again. Oh, no, not now. Todd Greenberg said there's a culture of blame in our game. Barrett and Arthur both had a good whine again. Losing coaches always blame the whistle man. Poor old Shane O'Flanagan, 30 grand again.
This summer, Regan Campbell-Gillard is a moustached Magnum PI. He's not doing up his top three buttons, so don't even ask him. He's Mr. Darcy meets Magnum PI meets Shaft. With a soundtrack all by Barry White. Songs sung by Regan Campbell-Gillard. They say too much of anything isn't good for you. Well, he's not really sure what that means. Regan Campbell-Gillard is RCG. Coming soon, maybe.
RCG is a movie that's a proud sponsor of FBI. And before that, we had Paul Gallen from Rugby League the Musical. And you'll find the last Mad Monday edition at the Bridge Hotel in Rozelle this Monday at 7:30 p.m. I was there last Monday. It was absolutely outstanding. I got to say hello to Warren Smith.
You were chuffed talking to Warren Smith. I saw you there. You were loving it.
So, guys, we're heading into the final minutes, if not the golden point, of this week's broadcast. Just a few other things I'd like to quickly touch on. It's Papua New Guinea fever this weekend.
How good is it?
Yeah, oh, mate, Cornwalls. Go the Cornwalls.
Yeah, we've got the PNG Hunters.
And the Hunters, sorry, the too, Hunters.
Yeah, in the Hang finals.
And the Cornwalls.
This is the Queensland, like, Intrust Super Traffic equivalent in Queensland.
Super Cup, rather,
yep. Sorry.
Playing the Sunshine Coast somethings.
Somebody's. Yeah. How good would it be that a non-Queensland team won the Queensland Cup? Now, that'd really be a knife in the heart, wouldn't it?
Finally.
It'd be great for the game, and we'd love it.
And the Cornwalls are taking on the Prime Minister's 13, and the Jillaroos are taking on the PNG Orchids. And did you know that rugby league is the national sport of Papua New Guinea?
I did know that.
Do you know Billy Slater was a jockey?
Yes, I know exactly. Did you know that you'd hate a call like this to cost us the grand final? And if you think Jake and Tom are good, wait till you see the younger Trbojevic brother.
Roy Slaven is the patron of PNG Rugby League, official patron.
Perfect. Hello to the sporting probe, HG and Roy. They're having a national conversation. Just going around the grounds, great to see the Instagram post from, Joey Johns about the Yes plebiscite. He dug up an old classic photo of him and former Knights teammate Billy Peden locking lips over a schooner to express how he'll vote in the same-sex marriage postal survey.
I spoke to him just before Joey Johns, and he said that he's willing to get a kissing booth open for anyone on the edge of the yes or the no. He said just come along, he'll give him a kiss, and for that you've got to vote yes.
Probably got a few love biscuits and nothing else.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know, if you're mack on with Joey, I don't know which way that'll swing you. How do we feel about Gary Lyon, former AFL player? And
who?
Bad bloke.
Commentator. Getting stuck into the Channel 9 commentary team, and Gus Gould in particular suggesting that they're biased towards Sydney teams. First of all, is that true? And secondly, is there anything wrong with that?
I think it's very true. Like, as much, I've really oscillated with, like, Gus Gould. I hated him because I was from Queensland when I came to Sydney. I learned to love him and, like, really respect him. I listened to Six Tackles with Gus for crying out loud. And then he's...
You're the one.
He's been rinsing, like, the Bronx a special this year. So much so, I've really found a kind of... Like, almost offensive at times. Like, I love the bloke, but he is really biased. But then, I mean, Chris, how long did Gary listen to this game for?
Yeah, well, he said he watched 15 minutes of the coverage, the last 15 minutes.
He listened
and that's,
to 15
that's a representative
minutes.
Sample under Duckworth Lewis, isn't
it? It's true, though. Nobody bar the NRL want Melbourne to win, except Melbourne supporters. It's 100% true. And the Channel 9 commentary, I mean, to have their credentials brought into question, I think, is scandalous. They are the most impartial call team of any sport in the world.
Yeah, world leading.
World leading, yeah, absolutely.
Lyon said, we finished three games clear, the Melbourne Storm, and I say we very proudly.
Oh,
who is he, Molly Meldrum?
Can I just say, what absolute guff?
Yeah.
Like, nobody in AFL, nobody in Victoria actually supports rugby league. I was down there a couple of years ago, this was after they'd won the comp the year before. About 20 pages back, there was a paragraph about, like, a big Storm game coming up. That was it. They hate it.
Yeah.
They dead set hate it as a game. And we, like, why do we put up with it? Like, it's, they give it to us, but then we don't give it back to them. I say, like, the gloves are off. Let's just give it back to them.
You're almost making me want to go for the Broncos. Lyon said, it just appeared to me that this has got right up the nose of everyone, just us, Jesse Bromwich. Okay, and then...
Have you got Jesse on the line there?
Yeah, I wish. I'm excited to speak, yeah. certainly he'll get a bit of white line fever.
I don't
runs
get that joke,
tonight.
Newman.
And then finally, and this pains me, guys, and I just want to say to Amy and to Pat, thank you for your support this morning. Bronco Reg
Bloody
is still
oath.
On the heads of agreement. Great to have Rob Bergen on. Newman, a particular pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Mate, bucket list stuff right here. Being on Fire Up. Love it.
I hope someone's taken a picture so you can put it in your collection. But the last story, it's a bit of a painful one, but we report the truth fearlessly. We're like Murdoch Press. The first rugby league first grade player to ever appear on Fire Up was the great Marty Kennedy, who's played for teams such as the Sydney Roosters and the Brisbane Broncos. And unfortunately, as we reported earlier in the year, he has been in some trouble. Marty, we're sorry we have to run this story, but in the interests of truth, we are. He's fronted court for his involvement in a sophisticated wildlife smuggling ring, and he's indicated that he will plead guilty.
Marty, this is bizarre.
Yeah. Can I question the sophisticated level of this ring that they were caught at such an early stage, it seems? It would be more accurate to say, I think, an unsophisticated crime ring.
Yeah, less than sophisticated. He's accused of committing 41 offences following a federal police raid on his Bondi Beach home in March. And wait till you hear what they found. They found a close to $100,000 in cash and a number of snakes.
Doing all right.
Oh, God.
Following investigations into an illegal reptile trafficking ring. Once a rising star, Kennedy is now fighting to stay out of jail as he's facing charges of illegally importing and exporting numerous packages containing live animals to and from overseas. These packages contain the following: Chinese softshell turtles, alligator snapping turtles, snakehead fish, sugar gliders, freshwater stingrays, and the internationally endangered veiled chameleons. Is this a business that should be illegal, or is this just something that would just bring joy to kiddies all around the world to open up on Christmas Day one of those mail tubes and have a shingleback lizard pop out?
How do you get into the veiled chameleon trafficking business in the first place?
It's a niche market, that's for sure. I'm always getting asked if I've got a chameleon, dead chameleon on me.
Or, hey mate, do you know where to get a good sugar glider?
Give me Marty's number. Wasn't he on Fire Up once?
I hesitate to say this, but I had two pet veiled chameleons once earlier as a kiddie, and they were called Mal and Meninga. I love those. I love that. Well, I don't know. Amphibians? I don't know what they are. Look, we're catapulting towards next week's grand final edition of Fire Up. We're a 50-50 proposition that we'll get Stephen Ferris back, but it'll probably be good if we do. I want to thank everyone for their time and attention. And as always, rugby league, we happen to love the game. You've been listening to Fire Up. See you soon.
Thank you.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!